There are always people, in fact, I'd say it's probably 20 to 30% of the population, who are looking for an excuse to not do the right thing, the healthy thing, the productive thing, the hard thing. My background, my past, it's easier for you than it is for me. That's just not my personality, whatever it might be. You're always going to have 20 to 30% of those people who will come up with some reason that they can't be more intentional at home. Well, today you're going to hear from a mom who does not fall into that category whatsoever. In fact, she'd be in that 20 to 30% of the people who inspire the rest of us. Hi, I'm Kurt Bruner, your host, and welcome to this edition of the podcast that we're titling Intentional Moms. Now, we're going to actually hear from one intentional mom talking to a group of other moms who hope and intend to be intentional. Her name is Tammy Shoemake, and she gave a great presentation recently on the topic of family traditions and how moms in particular can create a culture of warmth and love and acceptance and faith passing in their homes. Now, before we begin, I should warn you, have a pencil handy, because at least one or two or perhaps three of the ideas you're about to hear will work for your family, I promise you. So here's Tammy Shoemake talking to a group of intentional moms.
Well, I'm so excited to be here. I love to talk about family traditions. I am not a very good cook. I don't like to cook. I don't scrapbook, but I love to talk about traditions. I'm always looking for new traditions. And I'm surprised at the number of people that I talk to that you will ask, what kind of traditions do you do with your family, or what did you do growing up, that will say, I didn't have any traditions. Well, we all probably had some, and there's a lot of things that you're probably even doing now that we can call traditions, things that you do repetitively over and over. If that's Friday night pizza and a movie, then that's a tradition. That's something you do. If you eat turkey on Thanksgiving, that's a tradition, because some people don't. We have chips and queso at every family gathering that we get together. I'm from El Paso, so that's just part of what we do. It doesn't matter if it's Thanksgiving or Christmas, we've got a little side of chips and queso. But my hope is that you won't be overwhelmed. But there's just so many neat traditions that are so simple that you can implement with your family. I had the pleasure of being a part of a group of ladies, a group of friends that met monthly for about 3 years. And we got together monthly. We had a value. We talked about that value. And we shared traditions and ideas of how we were teaching that value to our family. And that was such a great time for me. So please don't be impressed with me. A lot of the ideas that I'm going to share you are not my own. Now, I have four kids. My oldest is Austin, and he's 10. I have Liberty. She is 8. And I have Wesley Dub. We call him Dub. When he was 3, he told us his name was Dub. My dad called him Dubya for short. And one day, he just informed us that his name was now Dub. And call me Dub. And anytime we called him Wesley, he corrected us. So now he is in kindergarten, and he writes Dub, D-U-B. On his papers. So he that's his name. Not his birth name, but that's what we call him. And he is 6, and he's definitely marches to his own drum. And then I have Glory, and she is 3. And when I was pregnant with our first child, Austin, we lived in Indiana. And my husband had great concern about our son not being born in Texas. Great concern. And so what he did was, as I was pregnant, we talked about ways, can I put you on a plane? When can I send you to your mom's? And, you know, my doctor's here, and, you know, I'd really like you to be there. And so he wrote a letter to George Bush, who was the governor of Texas at the time. And he said that we are up here in this foreign place, and we are about to have a baby and have some concerns. Can you declare our delivery room a temporary Texas embassy? And so everyone's like, you know, that's funny. Well, we got a letter back, and it said, although I can't declare your delivery room a temporary Texas embassy, I can declare your son an honorary Texan. So we have a signed and sealed document from Governor George Bush hanging in my son's room. So that is one way to create a sense of belonging. We want to make sure he feels like part of the family. So you don't have to go that extreme with it. So I'm going to give you some more practical and simple ways to do that. One of the ways that you can create a sense of belonging is to spend time with your family. That's what we all want to do. We all want to. It just gets hard. Our schedules get busy. But if you are not purposeful and intentional in spending time with your family and marking it on your calendar, then it's not going to happen. And one of the things that we initiated in our family was a family night. As our kids were getting older, we felt like we really needed them to know that it's important for us to spend time together as a family doing something fun on a regular basis. So one of the ways that you can do that is to look at your calendars, get them out and mark down some dates. It may not be the same day each week, but decide that start with once a month, we're going to have a family night. Our night is Tuesday night now. Sometimes that's something as simple as playing a game together for 30 minutes. It could be some things that you're already doing, like going to the park. I remember one night we were coming home from the spray park and we had said, well, it's family night, we're going to the spray park. And my son said, I wish it was family night every night. And we're like, God, that's so simple. We're just going to call it something and make him feel like it's something more than it is. It's so easy. Sometimes we just make up our own games. One night we did a shoemake Olympics. And the Olympics was going on, and we got bean bags, and we did bean bag tosses and kind of made up our own games, and the kids thought that was great. My husband's a little bit more creative than I am, so he comes up with those ideas. We also did a shoemake idol, where we were the judges, and we sat on the couch, and the kids got to get up there and sing a song of any that they choose. And, of course, we were like, it's a little pitchy, but, you know, I think you know, you're the bomb. And so, but they love that. The kids loved it. Something very simple. But the point is you just want to have fun together. You want to just make a point of having fun together. Pick a night, call it family night, and make it purposeful for you. Another thing that you can do that you're probably already doing, it's really instinctive to just go ahead and do some of these things, but are family photos. I put there is power in family photos. The pictures sometimes are better than the actual event. Wouldn't you agree? Wouldn't you agree? We just went camping over spring break, and it's not fun yet. I don't know how to make camping fun yet. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of work, especially with four kids, and it's dirty, and I just can't make it fun yet. But the pictures look great. You know, I take really good pictures while we're there, and I love showing those to the kids. It looks like so much more fun, and then I forget, and then we try it again, and I remember. So... So one thing you can do is display your family photos. I told you I'm not a scrapbooker. I do this thing called a memory board. Y'all have seen these before. But hang one in your kitchen or in your hallway or somewhere where the kids can see it. They love seeing pictures of themselves. And isn't it natural that when you walk into someone's house, the first thing you do is go to a picture and you look at it and you say, who is this and when was this and tell me about that. There's so much power in a family photo, and it really does create a sense of belonging. So what you can do is get you a memory board and just put a few pictures on the memory board. Just pick and choose your favorite ones. You don't have to have a whole scrapbook album for them to look at. Most people don't have time for that anyway. But then at the end of the year, you can take the pictures off the memory board throughout the year and put them in an album, a scrapbook album, and put Shoemake Team 2010. And you've got a year at a glance of 10, 12 pictures that you can enjoy and at least flip through that. So you're not feeling guilty about not having the whole scrapbook album. So that's one thing that you can do. My husband's real good about sports. He loves sports, and he loves to talk about team. We do something called team prayer and team laugh. So team prayer is something that we do at the end of family night and then just different times. Not just a prayer at dinner, but we'll get together in a circle and sit around, and we'll take turns praying. And then team laugh is something that we do. Sometimes we just need a little laughter in our homes, don't we? I think sometimes we just get so bogged down with just the day in and day out activities, and we forget to laugh together. Sometimes we'll take a few minutes out and say, we're going to do some team laugh. And we'll let the kids make a silly face. They each get a turn to come up and make a face, tell a joke, which, you know, knock-knock joke or something. Get a joke book. And the kids love it. It doesn't matter what it is. They laugh at it. They always think it's funny. And then they like to repeat those same jokes over and over. So they can make a funny face. They can act out something. But they love it. The kids think that they're hilarious. So and we make them feel that they do. But it's a real good way to reconnect with your family if you've had a little bit of just a lot of tension in your home. One thing that Lance and I did a few years ago is that we sat down and we wrote down what we valued. And we each came up with about 15 things that we valued. And then we narrowed it down. We came together and narrowed it down to 12 things that we valued. We framed it to give it credibility. And then if this is what we value, if we say that we value family time, then maybe we don't need to go and have 5 birthday parties on Saturday. Maybe we need to not do that. If we value laughter, and we haven't had a lot of laughter in our house in a while, then we need to probably get the joke book out and have a little laughter in our home. Libby, we have a chalkboard in our kitchen, and we often will write prayer requests on it. And Libby wrote on it one day, and it was, Dad, work, you know, Austin, you know, a test was coming up. And she went through the list, and then it came to Mom, and she put, be happy. And I went, well, Glory, I'm happy. And she said, not all the time. And I thought, well, isn't it like, is it just like kids to keep you humble and remind you, you know, that you, if you value laughter, then you need to make sure that you're following through that. If we value prayer, then that needs to be something that we do a lot in our home with our children. One of the things that we started a few years ago was called the Family Journal. And it's just a simple journal that you can set out and leave it on a table that's easy to access. And in this journal, you can just write down the funny things that your kids say. My kids have gotten to the point where I let them draw on it if they want to. They can put pictures in it. When we went camping, we started like a list of things that would remind us of our camping trip, sandcastles, flying kites, campfires. Just kind of a running list that we put in there of that. You know, you always say you're not going to forget, but you do. You forget the funny things that they say. This was Libby at dinner one night. She didn't want to eat what I had prepared. I told you I'm not much of a cook, but anyway, no excuses. She said, Mom, it's not me that doesn't like it. It's my taste buds. So I thought that was pretty smart. So anyway, you've got your journal. Now, this journal is a gift to me. This is for me because I love looking back in here and reading. Now, mind you, I want to tell you, and I'm going to be honest, there's one time I went like 9 months and didn't put a word in it, but it's more than I would have had if I didn't have a journal at all. And I started this years ago, and it's not really very filled up, but every now and then I'll think of it and leave it out where you can see it so it'll remind you, or if something happens that you want to write down, or let your kids write in it and draw pictures. Like Mother's Day's coming up, let your kids write about all the things that they love about Mom in the book. So that's my gift to me. Birthday ideas. The birthday blessings is very simple, focusing on the positive, going around the room and talking about that person on their birthday and telling them what you appreciate about them and what you love about them and encouraging them. If you've never had that done to you before, it's an amazing feeling, and it's such a great thing for your kids to start learning to do for each other. At our house, we do the birthday balloon wake up. We blow up balloons when the kids are asleep, and we put them in their room, and they wake up to all the balloons in their bed. And my husband every time says, why did we start this tradition? You know, we're blowing the night before. And there's been many a time we've had to go to Walmart at midnight and go get more balloons because we've forgotten. Again, I don't want you to be overwhelmed, but just tuck away these ideas and try one or two at a time and see what you think. The Candle of Honor, I can't not mention the Candle of Honor. We made our own Candle of Honor. This is a good family night activity as well. It's just a clay pot turned upside down and painted. You get your stones from your dollar store. And anytime the kids do something that's honorable, if they represent one of the values that you say that you value, then you can honor them by simply lighting the candle at the dinner table. And the kids love it. They get into that. It's so simple, but you know, if they lose a tooth or they make an A on their test or they showed loving kindness, light the candle and at the dinner table and honor them in that way. And the kids will ask, and they'll say, if I clean up my room, do I get the Candle of Honor? I'm like, no, it doesn't quite work that way. Mom and Dad decide when the Candle of Honor happens. But it's a great, simple way to do that. There's lots of different ways that you can show love. It's natural for us to create celebrations and activities that are expensive and time-consuming to show love, but there are simple little ways that you can show love. The blessing jar. Someone shared this idea with me about the blessing jar, and their mom used a mason jar, and they actually put little encouraging notes in it, so then when they would actually be able to see that there was a note in there, They could go in and read the note, and they kind of put the blessing jar throughout the house. One of the traditions that we do as a family that we started was on the last day of school, we pitch a tent in our living room, and the kids sleep in a tent. We get gummy worms. We make s'mores on the stove. And that's something that they look forward to. They get a new flashlight that breaks 2 days later. But they get to sleep in the tent, and they all get to celebrate that end of the school year. And that's just a real simple tradition that we started doing a few years ago that they remind us of, that they are looking forward to. And that's another thing. Once you start doing something, the kids, they will remind you. When are we going to do that? When are we going to do that? Another thing that I did as a child growing up was my mom, we would get a new ornament at Christmas every year. And it was always significant of what we were involved in at that time. My son 1 year wanted a Darth Vader ornament because I started doing that with him. And, of course, he had to hang Darth Vader up by the star on the top of the tree. I wasn't really sure how I felt about that, but I let him do it. So those ornaments will one day be his. A friend of mine said that her mom did that as well, and she always had an angel. But we do it kind of just let them pick out their ornament, and then those ornaments will be theirs when they marry or when they go away. What you need to do is get a tradition planner. Make your own tradition planner. And this can be a simple 3-ring binder that you start putting these ideas in. What happens is we go, I remember something about this in the magazine. Well, go ahead and tear that page out, stick it in your binder, and then you know where it is. And you can even organize it by months. In January, we do these. In February, we do these. And so that way, when January's coming up, you can go, what are the traditions or what are the ideas that I've heard about or the things that I want to do with my family? And that helps you stay organized. And it's things like today that you hear that you have a place to file them away, because oftentimes they go home in a pile and then you end up throwing them away or you can't find them when you need them. So start your own tradition planner. One of my favorite traditions, and you'll probably hear me say that about 4 times, but is the New Year's memory box. And this is something I got from Family Fun magazine. And this was one we did a few years ago that I have kept. And what you do is just get you a box from, this one was from Hobby Lobby, it was $4. And a few days after the first of the year, decorate your box. This is your family box for the year. In your box, you're going to be putting memories, things that you would probably throw away. But over time, you can put your zoo maps, your Six Flags maps. Wesley broke his arm 1 year. That was his hospital band. He jumped off the top bunk when he was 3 and hit his arm and broke it at the elbow. And we had to get a rod put in and have surgery. And my husband said, well, Dub, you know, we don't jump off the bunk bed. And he said, well, why not? And he said, well, because it breaks your arm and it hurts. And he said, well, I didn't break this arm. So that's Dub. Again, the name is very fitting. So in the box, I know this is probably gross to some of y'all, but in the box we have his cast. That was a big part of our year. And this is our 3rd cast that we used. That was our 3rd cast. We kept getting them wet. So we have our cast. We have our library awards and our school awards. We have our... My husband shot a deer that year, so the kids put this in the box. We have movie ticket stubs, birthday party invitations from their birthdays, programs from school. You get the idea. But it's so fun to put all that stuff in the box. Now, no one can look at the box until New Year's Day. And then on New Year's Day, you take your box and you take all the stuff out of the box and you relive those memories and you spread them out on the floor. We usually take a picture of the kids with all their stuff. And sometimes we're like, wow, Austin got to do quite a bit more than the other kids. Maybe we need to work on that next year. But he is older. So I love this tradition. And a family night activity for us after the start of the year is to make a memory box. So we've never really had much of a tradition for New Year's Day other than the black eyed peas and cornbread. So this is something that's really fun that the kids look forward to. Lots of great Christmas and Thanksgiving traditions out there. At Thanksgiving, you can take a leaf and put it on everyone's plate, not a real leaf, a die-cut leaf, and put it on everyone's plate and have them write down what they're thankful for. And they can go around the table and share that with everyone. This year, we went out and we put holes in it and put a string to it. And I took branches from the tree out in the back and put them in a vase. And everyone hung their leaf on the tree. And then that was the centerpiece. So that's something simple. What we also did this year at Thanksgiving was I had all of my family for the first time at my house. So when everyone got there, I had thank you notes, and everyone had to address their own card. And then before they left that day, they had to take the card of someone else and write a thank you note to that person. And then I mailed all the thank you notes to them after. So it's very simple, real easy thing to do to make it more meaningful. When we get our Christmas cards every year, we put them all in a basket. And then on the first of the year, we take one Christmas card out a day and we pray for that family at dinner. And that way you're not feeling guilty because you're throwing the picture of them in the trash. And then you're thinking about that family, not just at the Christmas season. So if you have lots of friends, you could probably go the whole year, praying for people. So that's a real simple thing that you can start doing with your family as well. Last thing I need to mention about Christmas, I can't get away without it. This is called, and this is on your resource, this is called the Jotham Trilogy. This is a story of Advent, and you read it every day, and it tells you what day to start. The kids love it. It's an adventure story. It's kind of a cliffhanger every night, and it builds up to the birth of Jesus and leaves you at the manger scene at the end. Initially, when we started this a few years ago, I thought, well, Lance would open the book, and he would be sitting in the chair, and we would all be under the quilt at his feet, and he would read this to us, and we would all just be so refreshed and excited about the birth of Jesus that was coming. But, Wesley's climbing on my back and rolling all over the floor, and, some of the kids are up and down. And so lower your expectations a little bit. They're getting it. They're getting it. But this is our second time through it. So just don't expect too much to the point that you get discouraged and you do nothing at all. So keep trying. Keep trying. Love that. I want to end with this. May the ceremonies of our homes be true ceremony from Him, because of Him, pointing toward Him, honoring Him, and thanking Him.
It's been said that traditions are the tracks that carry our beliefs and our values into the next generation. And Tammy and those moms who were listening to her during this presentation have begun the process of trying to create one or two or three traditions per year in order to do that. And I hope over the past 20 minutes or so, you've picked up one, two, or three ideas that'll work for your family. Thanks for moving beyond excuses and becoming more intentional as a mom.